Let's turn to Psalm 113. This begins the Hallel Psalms, and that's part of the word praise. It is the word praise, and if you add Yah to that, first letter of the name of God, Jehovah, Yah is that letter. So we have Hallel Yah. Put a ah in the middle there somewhat, you know, to join and make it sound nice is Alleluia. But that's where that comes from. So you're saying that word, well, it's important to know what it means too, right? The Hallel. Psalms would be sung during the Passover. A very critical time for the believers, the Jewish believers in Israel. Of course, that celebrates their exodus from Egypt, being released from bondage, from slavery. It's interesting, we call ourselves slaves of Christ, servants of Christ, but those are doulos, those are bond servants. It's willing servants versus unwilling servant, right? It's a big difference, and you know, we kind of get scared away from the term slavery, cower away from it because of all the negative connotations that go with it, but there's a beautiful side of slavery. That's the willing servant, one that has willingly given their life. Hallel, Yah, hallelujah. Psalm 113 begins with, praise the Lord, ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Would you call yourself that today? Would you call yourself a willing servant of God? That you've given your life to Him. Well, this psalm is for you. In fact, this first verse is specifically giving you an exhortation to praise Him. Praise ye the Lord. Praise you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. You'll hear the name of the Lord three times in the first three verses here. So we're going to go off on that a little bit. Well, quite a bit. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Yesterday is gone. Yesterday is waters that have passed. God would have us to do what He does and to put in the sea of forgetfulness all the things of the past, the things that are of sin in the past, and look forward. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. A great morning verse, a great breakfast verse, a great breakfast of champion verse. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. There you have the name of the Lord three times in the first three verses there. So that three times makes me want to look into that a little bit. Praising the name of the Lord, what does that mean? What is the name of the Lord? Well, specifically given here, it's Jehovah, the name of the Lord. And that comes from just four letters, which are unpronounceable. YHVH. And there's a certain term for that, the tetragrammaton. There's all kind of technical details, but what is the name of God? And why is it important to us? You could think of a name as a type of a bucket. It's kind of something that holds something, and it holds an identity. For Gretchen, that means that person that's sitting over there right now. So what you could think of a name as a bucket, and inside of that bucket is that individual. So the name is a way to collect the attributes, the characteristics of that individual, their story, their identity, everything about them is contained in that name. Yet it's only a container. And so the pronunciation and the enunciation and all of these things, in fact, are just descriptive of this bucket. But the important thing is the being in the bucket, God Himself. I thought it was very interesting when Moses was interacting with God, the burning bush experience, having that conversation and God telling him to go back to his people and rescue those people and bring them out of Egypt. And at the end of that conversation and going back and forth, you almost kind of picture in your mind Moses taking a step away from the bush, then turning back and asking that question, by the way, who should I say that sent me? What's your name? What was God's answer? Very interesting. What would he put on that bucket? Just that he said, I am the existing one. God doesn't even need a name. He never really needed a name. It's essential for us to give him a name to distinguish him from everything else that he created, including idols, especially false gods. So it is imperative, it is important for us to have a name for God. But in through eternity, no, it isn't. Because God is unique unto himself, and there is nothing like him, as we will see here. Names make distinctions, of course. And when we give glory to God and when we praise him, we want to be distinctly praising and giving glory to God, not just to everything kind of spread out and broadcast. We're giving, we're directing, we're making very specific, we're shooting an arrow at something, at a target. So a name gives us that target. This idea of name brought me into a little bit of a study and teaching, which will be presented to you now. We'll go to Genesis 1. And in this beginning book, the book of beginnings, we see God name or call something a specific name 5 times. He creates all sorts of things, an innumerable amount of things. But he only gives names to 5 things, and he turns it over to man, Adam, to start the rest of the process, the zoology and the botany and everything else that go on with identification of species and so forth. By doing this act of calling things a certain name, by creating buckets for these things, God is drawing distinctions in his creation. And in those distinctions, we find purpose. We find meaning in his creation. It's not just one big vast array of light and we just kind of like we are in this effervescent experience of God. He's made his creation very distinct and clear. And in these distinctions, we discover God, strangely enough. They're expressions of him, as the painter's painting is an expression of him. His mind, his heart, his being. So on the canvas of creation, the first thing that he calls or names is day and then night. In verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. The second one is in verse 8, God called the firmament heaven. He separates water in that context, and we know there's we have an atmosphere comprised of water, and the water cycle comes down. We see it in clouds. We're seeing it out there today, falling to the ground. And there's also water in outer space. When you get to experience a comet going by, a lot of what you see, that tail is water being expressed out. In fact, there is so much water in the universe, it's the water that we can measure is trillions of times more than what's on the Earth. Yet the Earth is so unique in the amount of water that it has. Water is a substance that is very unique, and I won't get off on a tangent on that, but it's a very exciting substance. It's right there in verse 1. And God called the firmament heaven. So that is the third term there, heaven. That's the atmosphere above us, the sky, space, and beyond. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called, there's your fourth term, there'll be 5 altogether here, called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters he called seas, plural. And God saw that it was good. So 5 terms here, day and night, and expressions of time. Also, electromagnetic spectrum in there, light involved, of course, energy. Then space, the third term, stretching out above us, the firmament of heaven. Then back to earth. He separates the 2 cribs of his creation. You have the water and you have the earth. The plants will be coming up on the earth. The water will be the crib also of his creation, bringing forth all sorts of creatures in the waters. So what's in a name? Distinctions, a bucket of things that declares something, that bring purpose and meaning to them. Ultimately, to give glory to God. As we know, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament, his handiwork. all the work of God, his fingers, the things that he's done and he's created, declare his glory. There's something we can learn about them. And it begins with a name. Remaining in Genesis, let's just go to chapter 2 here, and we'll see where God passed that baton to Adam in verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl, every bird of the air. We ate some of them last Thursday. And brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature was the name thereof. God is sharing his creation with Adam, with man, to be able to identify that. And that's part of what we do. We have universities built to study these things. I was very interested in the natural sciences. My first year of college was all about that. I was a biology major, and the first things you go into is zoology and botany, learning about plants and learning about animals. Very difficult. I thought I was going to be excited about it, but it was all about the name of everything. I might appreciate it now. In fact, I know I would more than I did then. But it was just like, can we get past the name and start talking about the function and purpose and things like that? But there was so much of that. There's so much of that. What is that part in the, you know, in the, as you dissect a frog? Or what is this part of the leaf, the chloroplast and the mitochondria inside the cell? And all of these things that go on. What are these parts? Identify them. What are their Latin names? Oh, my goodness. And so my eyes are rolling back in my head. But yet, this is all God's glory. This is all Adam naming and identifying the things of God's glory, of his painting. He's including us, the apple of his eye, to be able to do this thing. So it is awesome to be able to learn these things. It is an exploration of not just facts and figures, but of the glory of God. The saddest thing that we experience out in our culture and our school is when God is removed from that glory. There's names for it. Materialism is one of them, where it's God is completely removed from his creation. What a blasphemy to teach children. What do you think Adam's favorite thing was that he named? Lions? Giraffes? What do you think his favorite thing was? It was a real wow moment. There's your clue.
Woman. Wow.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. And not only did she have a zoological identification as woman, that's the scientific term, but he gave her a specific name, a name that he could target his love towards. Her name was Eve. Everybody say Eve. Eve, okay. Adam didn't even have a name. His name means man. Poor guy. It just means man. We're all Adam in here. We're all mankind. So interesting, isn't it? So it wouldn't be till Cain and Abel and Seth that they would have specific names, the boys would. So interesting. Yet these are buckets to distinguish, draw our attention to study and learn about the wonders of God, the distinctions of God. What's in his name? Let's go back to Psalm 113, verse 4. There we go. What are the distinctions of this God? We know the specific name that directs our attention, so we're excluding everything else and focusing on this God, this Jehovah. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. God is sovereign. We sang about it this morning. He's sovereign. That means he sits above everything. No mountain is higher than him. No element in space is higher than him. No stars. He's high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. The question is asked, who's like the Lord our God? Who dwells on high? Can anybody answer that today? Who is like the Lord on high? See, we're making distinctions. We're drawing conclusions into the character of God. Who is like him? In verses 6 through the end here, describe things that are distinct about him. He humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. Exclamation point. That's a big exclamation point. It's bigger than this earth. It's huge, that. We talk about the humility of Christ, God sending his Son, deity on earth, the Word of God wrapped in flesh. We talk about that, his humility, being born in a manger, a feeding trough, king-size bed. You see some of those images people share on Facebook. Just a little feeding trough with straw coming out of it. Very clever. King-size bed. We talk about that humility that he had, but you realize that extends back to where he came from, heaven. In that warm place, you're in a warm building, and it's like you don't want to go out and get that thing that you have, the pie that's cooling out there, whatever it is. You don't want to go outside and into that cold. And that's exactly what God did. He came out of perfect eternity. He stepped out of that perfect place of light, perfect love, the Father and Son and Spirit in perfect harmony. He stepped out of that into the cold. He stepped out of it. He humbled himself. It talks about in the letters, Pauline letters. It talks about him stepping down, that humbling. Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. He's involved in our lives. He knows every hair on Asher's head. He knows what color his socks are. He knows what his sister's doing right now back home, and his little brother, especially the little brother. Got to keep a special eye on him. He's walking now. Here's some of the things he does in being involved in our lives. This Jehovah, this name of God. He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the dunghill. We see in the New Testament, I can't think of the verse right now what it is, but God has chosen the baser things. He chooses the simpler things, the things that aren't noble, the things that aren't praised by man, that you don't see on American Idol and you don't see glorified in Hollywood and so forth. That God's not about that. He's about choosing the one that is forgotten, alone, in the dark, and pulling them out of obscurity and putting them on high. We all love those stories, and sometimes they're involved in those stories that we see in those cases, and that kind of brings more emphasis to them, right? If somebody wasn't born with this talent, or, you know, they came from a hard place, and that kind of, it brings a greatness to the story, doesn't it? And that is to the glory of God, us as image bearers of God. When we see that, we can give glory to God because that's exactly what God does. He likes to bring the humble and raise them up. When we are in a place of pride and when we're in a place of, you know, ineffectiveness in the kingdom because of pride, God will cause us to be humble, and that is because he loves us. That's a good Father in heaven. Verse 8 declares that, setting him with princes, even with the princes of his people. That's the God elevating the humble, raising the poor out of the dust and the needy out of the dunghill. And that's what it feels like sometimes, doesn't it? It feels like a dunghill that you're stuck in. Sometimes your head is stuck in it. Sometimes your feet are stuck in it. Sometimes your whole body, and you feel like you're drowning in it, in a dunghill. You reach out to God. God is pleased to bring you out of those places. He makes the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord, barren, empty life, bringing fulfillment. That's the nature of God. Just in a few examples here in a short psalm. Let's go back to Genesis, please, chapter 2. This actual term, name, is Shem in the Hebrew, and so if you do a search on that in your concordance, you'll see that first term used, although God's calling and naming things, that word name is first used in chapter 2 regarding the names of rivers. There are five rivers. Four are named. One is the head river. You can think of your thumb in four rivers. So today's teaching is called High Five. Okay? We're going to bring this into the fivefold ministry that God has us, and it is a flow. So it's very appropriate. I don't know if God intended to do that, but it works with the teaching. And I'm not bringing up new doctrine, so I'm safe to do it. There are five flowing rivers here. There's a fivefold ministry that God has for his church to his glory. The thing we can get lost in is one of these four rivers that are a tributary to the main river. We think it's all about the preacher, the pastor, the evangelist, or being a prophet and having a word of knowledge and doing healings, or an apostle doing healings and going on the streets and laying your life down, evangelists likewise, all of these things that are taking place. We think, hey, that's you know, those things are entities in themselves. No, that all comes to that bucket, Jehovah. It all comes from that same source. It brings glory to Him. What's happening right now brings glory to God, to Jehovah. It's all flowing from one head. And that one head is not named here. It's that nameless, the ever-existing I am that I am. Very interesting parallel. So that's verse 10 of chapter 2 in Genesis. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. We don't have a name for that. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Now you have four main flows. The name of the first is Pison, maybe there's a pronunciation, that is, which compasses the whole land of Hivalah, which there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There's bellium and the onyx stone. And the second river is Gihon, the same it is that compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. The name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is, which goes toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. One source, four rivers, four main flows. Pison means poured out. I looked into the names of these. Our topic is about names, so we're going to be looking at names. We're going to parallel that to the fivefold ministry. And that all brings glory to God. Pison. By the way, I'm not sure if Adam named these, or one of these, or God named these. It really doesn't tell us. All of a sudden in chapter 2, it's inserted in there, these rivers with names already on them. So we're not sure who named them, but that's just a side point. But Pison means poured out. Which ministry do you think of being called a Christian means being poured out? Being an apostle? Being an evangelist, prophet, pastor, teacher? About Gihon means a bursting forth. It's a kind of an exploding water. Waterfalls, geysers. It's that bursting. It's a, what's that water park Asher goes to and that thing tips? And it's like, oh, here it comes. Ah! Splash park, they call it, right? The thing just gushes forth. What ministry does that speak to? Third river, Hiddekel, it's a rapid, fast-moving water. What ministry does that speak to? Euphrates means fruitfulness. Means fruitfulness. This water brings and feeds trees, orchards, acreage. Euphrates, what ministry does that speak to? Well, let's take a look. We'll find that in Ephesians 4. All the way on the other end of the Bible. It's a cohesive Bible. They're all connected. You could be on one end of the Bible and all the way on the other end and you have a connection. Anybody want a weather report? Oh boy, you don't want to know. Back to the Word. I won't keep you long, I know that much. Ephesians 4. The fivefold ministry, the way I will present it, you might hear different people present it different ways, but the way I will present it, you think of a hand. One main tributary, everybody hold up their hand. You have the main tributary, and then you have four coming out, just like the rivers in Genesis. One main one, and four. Isn't it interesting how they work together? The one with the four. Cool illustration. You'll hear that in Ephesians 4, the one. Then here are the four. I've grouped the ministries into four, pastor, teacher, I put together. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. What are you doing when you have humility? You are giving the fragrance of Christ out. You're emanating the fragrance of Christ. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Notice keep. The unity of the Spirit. The Spirit isn't all divided. The Spirit isn't upset and anxious. He already is at peace. The Spirit already is in unity. in the bond of peace. There is one body. Here's the one. Thumbs up. There is one body, one spirit, even as you were called, one hope of your calling, emphasis being one tributary, the ever-existent, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. That's that one feeding mainstream source. That's the thumb. We give a thumbs up to God when we praise and worship Him and call Him one. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now it's breaking out into the tributaries. The tributaries from that thumb, the four fingers. Wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captive captive and gave gifts unto men. Here's the outflow from heaven. Because of the cross, because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, giving his life for me and you, there's an outflow from heaven. Verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth. Jesus did amazing things on the cross, amazing things in those 3 days that we will just begin to glorify him for eternity for. He that descended in the same also ascended up far above the heavens that he might fill all things. And here's the filling, the outflowing into each one of us. By the way, each one of these rivers you're invited into, you may play part of more in one than the other in different times of your life. You might be in a strange place like Haiti, and all of these things come to play inside of you all at once because it's one God. Maddie actually taught me that from his own experience. The gifts of the Spirit. It's one God. You can be in the strangest, remotest place, and you're the only one there. You don't have Pastor so-and-so. You don't have the prophet, evangelist. You have God, though. You have God. You have the full flow. You have the fullness of God there to be able to do what you need to do to spread his kingdom, to carry out the Great Commission, to carry that flow out. God's body, though, you will see him spread those gifts out. You'll see the buckets form. You'll see pastor, you'll see teacher, you will see prophet, evangelist, apostle even. You'll see those buckets, the flow of God. He that descends is the same that ascended up, gave gifts to men, he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, now back to the thumb, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. This is just so you don't get all, well, what about this and this person and this job? And all, well, let's get back to the thumb again. All right, because that's what it's all about. It's all about God. This is the bookends of Ephesians 4. It begins with one God, one Spirit, and all of this. And now we're coming to the unity of the faith again. Back to the thumb, back to all of us together. What's the purpose of having a pastor? So we can have a really cool pastor? No. So we can have a really good song leader, an apostle, an evangelist through music. What is the purpose of these things? Till we all come to the unity of the faith, back to the thumb, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, singular, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, singular, back to the main head, the main flow. That is back to God. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen. Back to the head flow. Isn't that cool how those things came together? Next week, we will have communion together. We'll cut it short here. We'll expound more upon these flows of ministry as we get into Psalm 114, the rest of the Hallel through 118. We'll break bread together. It's an exciting time. Hey, Mozart, Bach, Julius Antonio, and a few others. All of these guys, they made great Mendel. Yeah. All of these guys have great, go listen to them. Go listen to the compositions, the Hallel, in preparation for communion coming up this week. Be excited about this. These praise songs. These are very special. They have to do with the Passover. They have to do with the cross. Let's come together with excitement. Let's get back together in the unity of God. Let's use the giftings of God. Let's be ready to receive those. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for this meeting. We pray, Lord God, for safety around everybody, angels, Lord, as we get back to our homes. I thank you and appreciate, Lord God, immensely, Lord God, that you have a few of us that gather together today. What a meaningful time, Lord God, to hear your saints speak, to hear them praise you, Lord God. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.